So this first part is going to be just gaining scientific confidence to challenge Darwinism. I know that many of you, whether you're in high school or college, you're taking classes and they're pretty much teaching you a strictly pro-Darwin only view. And you might not have heard about a lot of the scientific evidence that challenges Darwinian evolution and supports intelligent design. And I hope to be able to convey and communicate some of that to you today. So just a quick outline of where we're going. You guys ever watch the show Mythbusters? I love that show. So we're going to bust a myth this morning. There's this sort of myth in our culture that anybody who doubts Darwinian evolution is ignorant or uneducated, certainly not a scientist. Well, let me tell you right now, that is a myth. There are many, hundreds and maybe even thousands, I would say, of credible scientists who challenge and dissent from Darwinian evolution. And there are many legitimate scientific reasons to doubt Darwinian evolution. We're going to talk about some of those scientists and their scientific reasons. So what are some of the scientific reasons? Well, to understand what's wrong with Darwinism, we first have to understand what Darwinism says. So we're going to start off by learning a little bit about the Darwinian view of life. Then we're going to talk about five problem areas of evolution. We're going to look at the origin of life, mutations, and natural selection, and how they don't produce many of the complex features we see in life. We're going to also talk about embryology and vestigial organs and some of these lines of evidence that are often cited for evolution that are actually false. Finally, we're going to look at the fossil record and how that does not support Darwinian evolution. So, this first part, we're going to do some myth busting of this myth that says that only ignorant or uninformed people doubt Darwinian evolution. Are there credible scientists who doubt Darwinian evolution? So, if you've ever been in a class and you've had a teacher perhaps even say to you, raise your hand if you don't believe in evolution. Have any of you guys ever had that experience, just out of curiosity? Okay, one person. I've given many talks to high school students, to college students. I've spoken on many university campuses. And I'll often get a few hands of people who say, yes, that they were in a class and they got singled out by the professor because they don't believe that we just evolved through random evolutionary processes, that they believe we were created by some kind of an intelligent designer. And so they raise their hand. And the primary reason that the professor did this was to basically embarrass them, to make them look stupid and foolish in front of the class, and basically to try to shame them or bully them into believing in evolution. So you may have felt like this. You're in a class, you feel singled out, you're all alone, that you don't believe in evolution. I'm sure how many of you guys have heard of Richard Dawkins? Many of you have heard of Richard Dawkins. He's the world's most famous atheist and the world's most famous evolutionary biologist. And he once said that it is absolutely safe to say that if you meet somebody who claims not to believe in evolution, that that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane, or wicked, but he says, I'd rather not consider that. So he tries to say that if you don't believe in evolution, then you're uninformed, you're uneducated, or you're stupid, or you're evil. I mean, that's a pretty nice set of choices, right? Well, I am going to say today, beyond a shadow of doubt, that you don't have to be ignorant or insane or evil to doubt Darwinian evolution. In fact, there are many credible scientists who are very good people that are very well informed and very well educated who are skeptics for scientific reasons of Darwinian evolution. So do any credible scientists doubt Darwinism? The answer to that is yes. There's a website. The website is www.dissentfromdarwin.org. And if you go to this website, you'll find a list of over 900 PhD scientists who have signed this statement here. It says, we are skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutation and natural selection to account for the complexity of life. Careful examination of the evidence for Darwinian theory should be encouraged. So there are hundreds of PhD scientists who have signed this statement dissenting from Darwinian theory. Now, the rejoinder that we often get from evolutionists or atheist types is often, well, surely most of those scientists are all religious and they're just doubting for religious reasons. Well, I don't know what most of those scientists, what their beliefs are. I don't know if they're religious or not. Maybe many of them are religious. Maybe they're not. We don't survey their religious beliefs. We only let them sign the list if they are credible PhD scientists who have scientific credentials. But I do know this much. I know that there are credible scientists who actually themselves are not even religious that dissent from Darwinian evolution. I'll give you guys a couple examples of non-religious or agnostic or atheist scientists who are skeptics of Darwinism. This is a quote from Lynn Margulis. She was a member of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, the most prestigious scientific organization in the country. She died about, I think, 3 years ago, and she was also not Christian or any kind of a traditional religious person. She says that neo-Darwinists say that new species emerge when mutations occur and modify an organism. I was taught over and over again that the accumulation of random mutations led to evolutionary change, led to new species. I believed it until I looked for the evidence. And she goes on to say that the evidence does not support this claim that random mutation and natural selection can produce new species. This is a quote by Thomas Nagel, who is a philosopher and a legal scholar at New York University and also a very famous atheist. And he says in a book, the subtitle of this book was Why the Neo-Darwinian Conception of Nature is False. And he says, I have been stimulated by criticisms of the prevailing scientific world picture by the defenders of intelligent design. The problems that these iconoclasts pose for the orthodox scientific consensus should be taken seriously. They do not deserve the scorn with which they are commonly met. It is manifestly unfair. And he actually says that he thinks that there is merit to intelligent design and that Darwinian evolution is false. Here's another famous scientist. Maybe some of you have heard of him. His name was Fred Hoyle. He was a physicist and cosmologist at Cambridge University in the United Kingdom. He said, Darwinian theory is wrong because random variations tend to worsen performance, as indeed common sense suggests they must do. And he, too, was actually an atheist. Here's a quote from an evolutionary scientist in Germany. He says, it is dangerous to raise attention to the fact that there is no satisfying explanation for macroevolution. One easily becomes a target of orthodox evolutionary biology and a false friend of non-scientific concepts. So what he's basically saying here is that there are problems with Darwinian theory, but when you raise that, you sometimes get attacked by the scientific community. What he's saying, it's not safe for scientists and the scientific community to critique Darwinian theory because they themselves then become targets of other scientists. This is another really striking quote. This is a quote from Jerry Fedor, who is a philosopher and a cognitive scientist at Rutgers University. He also describes himself as an atheist. He wrote a book a couple years ago called Darwin Was Wrong, where he criticizes natural selection as a mechanism for producing new species. And this is what he said in his book. He says, we've been told by more than one of our colleagues that even if Darwin was substantially wrong to claim that natural selection is the mechanism of evolution, nonetheless, we shouldn't say so. Not anyhow in public. To do that is, however inadvertently, to align oneself with the forces of darkness whose goal is to bring science into disrepute. So what is he saying? He's saying that he is actually told by other colleagues at his university that he should not publicly criticize Darwinism. And he should keep his doubts about Darwinian theory to himself. This is a very unhealthy state for evolutionary theory to be in, when their own scientists are saying that they are told by other scientists to keep their criticisms of Darwinism to themselves. So I'm not saying this is some big, huge conspiracy here. I'm quoting evolutionary scientists themselves, who are atheists, who are saying that they are told by their colleagues to self-censor and to suppress their own criticisms of Darwinism and to not publicly make those clear. So I think this should tell you something when people say to you, oh, well, every scientist supports evolution. For one, that's not true. I just gave you a list of 900 PhD scientists that doubt Darwinian theory, but it's interesting to hear that there are evolutionary scientists themselves who admit they feel pressure to keep quiet about their own doubts about Darwinism. And if there wasn't that pressure, I wonder how many more scientists would feel free to speak publicly about their own views doubting Darwinian theory. How many more scientists would challenge Darwinism if they didn't face this peer pressure to stay silent? So we often see in this debate over evolution what we call ad hominem attacks. What's an ad hominem attack? Well, let's say that you go up to your friend and you say, you know what, last week I lent you $20, you owe me $20. And your friend says to you, you're stupid, okay? Is that a response to your argument? No, that's just a personal attack. He's just calling you names. So an ad hominem attack is when you attack a person rather than their argument. So why do people usually make ad hominem attacks? And we learned this in the fourth grade, right? People usually make ad hominem attacks when they have no better argument, right? If it really wasn't true that your friend owed you $20, then he would probably say, no, you never lent me money, and I paid you back yesterday. I don't owe you any money anymore, right? Instead, he just said, you're stupid. So usually people only make ad hominem attacks when the evidence is not on their side. So why is it that we so often see that evolutionists will make personal attacks against those who question their theory? Like, remember that quote from Richard Dawkins where he said, anybody who doubts evolution is either ignorant or insane or wicked or stupid, right? Those are the options he gave. Well, those are not responses to the arguments. Those are personal attacks. Those are ad hominem attacks. So why do people usually make ad hominem attacks? Is it A, because the evidence is on their side, or B, because because the evidence is not on their side. Well, think back to the fourth grade. The answer is it's because the evidence is not on their side. If the evidence was on their side, they would be giving you a logical, well-reasoned rebuttal. So when your opponent stoops to using ridicule or ad hominem attacks, when your professor singles you out and says, look, if you doubt evolution, you're stupid, in a weird way, you might actually be encouraged when he says that you're stupid, because that actually shows that you might be right. Because if he had a logical response to your argument, then he would be giving it. Instead, he's attacking you personally. So usually when somebody stoops to using ridicule or ad hominem attacks, it's a sign that you've made a good argument. It's a sign that the arguments and the evidence is actually on your side. Unfortunately, though, we do constantly see this sort of drumbeat from the media and from many scientific groups who will tell us that there is no science that challenges Darwinism. This is a quote from PBS's Evolution series that was aired a few years back, and it says, all known scientific evidence supports evolution, as does, quote, virtually every reputable scientist in the world. Well, that's certainly not true, but why should scientists be so dogmatic? Aren't scientists supposed to be open to new ideas? Aren't they supposed to be willing to entertain questions of their ideas? When we hear these sort of very dogmatic claims in favor of evolution, we shouldn't be bullied by them. We shouldn't be intimidated by them. We should, in fact, realize that these are simply attempts to shut down the scientific conversation over evolution. And when somebody's trying to shut down the conversation and not allow debate to take place, that is a major red flag that the evidence is not on their side. They're afraid to have a debate because they know that if a debate happens, then they might actually lose it. So when you hear people making these highly dogmatic statements in favor of evolution, again, what that tells you is that the evidence is not on their side. These people are afraid to have a debate, and they're trying to shut down the conversation on evolution. And that should be a major red flag in your mind that there's something wrong with their position. So I would say we should just ignore these bluffs. When people make these bluffs that there's no evidence that challenges Darwinism, that's simply not true. We're going to talk about evidence right now. But at the very least, it tells us something about the nature of their arguments when they resort to those kinds of things.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.